Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, we began a message which I've entitled Coming into Maturity, and that is the express purpose and function of the Holy Spirit in the earth in this hour to bring God's people into the unity of the faith, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. And we began looking at some of the methods that God uses to perfect His followers, to bring us into a completion in terms of being spiritually mature. And just by way of quick review, first of all, prayer is one of the ways, not only just corporately, but especially when as we focus on our individual lives, God wants us to, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. And that refers to an inward heart connection with the Lord, even though we might be busy about the events of our day-to-day life. Also in Bible study, Ephesians 5:26 says, the Lord sanctifies and cleanses us with the washing of water by the Word. And we know that Paul exhorted Timothy in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, saying that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God and all of God's people can be thoroughly furnished unto good works. Then, of course, there's Bible teaching that we would receive in generally a corporate setting. That's why it's important that we not forsake the fellowshipping of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But in Acts 2:42, it says, they, referring to the early church, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching of the Word of God. The times they had in that time, the apostles literally lived their lives for 3 years in the presence of the physical Lord Jesus. And so there was much that they could share as the Holy Spirit reminded them of things that Jesus said and taught them. So also we began, as we brought the broadcast to a close yesterday, on the importance of fellowship. In that same chapter 2, it says 44 through 46, and all that believeth were together and had all things in common. And this refers not just to material or natural things, but I would suggest it refers to sharing together in the Spirit. Perhaps the richest type of fellowship there is to talk about the Lord, is to share what God is doing in each of our lives, the lessons that we're learning. It is important to not just to socialize, although of course that there's nothing wrong with that, and that's a wonderful thing to do, but the highest, the deepest, the most richest time of being together, and I'll have to testify in terms of my own growth in the Lord when I was a baby Christian, was that of fellowship, to hear about the experiences of other believers, of how God was dealing with them. I learned so much, and that's true of all of us. And even if we are mature in the Lord, there is still much that we need to learn. Remember, Paul said, I didn't think I had arrived yet, but I'm pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But there's, even as a young babe in the Lord, there is a scripture I ran across that I absolutely loved, and I want to share it with you. It is so absolutely precious, and it is found in the book of Malachi, starting at verse 16, and this refers to God's people. Then they, that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Isn't that precious? There's not just the Lamb's book of life, but there's a book of remembrance. And it goes on in verse 17, the Lord still speaking, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Praise God. And so there's the richness of fellowship that occurs when believers share the Lord, the things of the Lord. And another way that God moves is, as we find in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 5 through 6, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So chastisement, if you will, it sounds like a strong word, but it's basically instruction. The Lord is teaching us, just as a good parent would, the things that a child needs to know to grow into maturity, for safety, for protection. A parent would be irresponsible if a toddler went toward the stove and put his hand on a hot burner or a flaming burner. I mean, we naturally care and protect for our natural children. How much more does our Heavenly Father want to do that? And so, because he loves you and me, beloved, that's why at times it's, you know, no chastening for the present is joyous, but grievous, as the apostle says. But afterwards it imparts the peaceable fruits of righteousness. That's how we grow, just like a natural child would be corrected. If they're doing something wrong, if they're being selfish, if they're disobeying, then there's a proper loving means of correcting that child. So there's chastisement, and then, of course, there's circumstances. Paul found that out. He described that. He mentioned it in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 13. For I have learned, he didn't know it when he started, but he had learned, just as we are to do, beloved. If you're in a difficult place today, this is God's word to you, beloved. Or if you're on top of the mountain and everything is wonderful, praise God. But he learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed, what? By the Lord, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So here, regardless, he learned whatever his circumstances were, and he knew a lot about suffering. He knew a lot about, well, he was even left for dead once. He knew that in every circumstance, God was in control of his situation. He was leading him, and that he didn't have to be afraid. That's true for you and me, beloved. All right, well, those are just some of the ways God deals with us, his methods dealing with us personally, so we will grow up to be mature Christians. And then there is another area, I guess we could think of it more in terms of a corporate setting, where the Lord, that's how he uses to bring us into maturity, and that one that will affect all of us, and that is body ministry. Now, before we go any further, what does ministry or minister mean? Well, simply, it means to help, to give aid or service. And this term refers to members of the body of Christ in particular who are actively engaged in service to others. And there's a passage that I would like to share with you in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 11, a very familiar one that I quote oftentimes on the broadcast. That is, and he, who does he refer to? Well, the Lord Jesus, because just in that verse preceding, verse 10, it says, he, and in 9, he ascended, he descended. This is referring to Jesus. Jesus gave fivefold ministry gifts to his church, to his body. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He goes on to say, why? for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. How precious that is. Well, five offices have been set in the church to accomplish this task of bringing Christians to maturity. The main burden or work of these offices is simply to equip the saints. So often, in terms of traditional church mentality, there's a pastor who is leading his flock, and somehow we have developed a mentality that the pastor is basically supposed to do everything. Well, first of all, it's impossible for a single person to do everything. And their job is to read, to pray, to study, to give the meat of the word to God's people that the saints can do the work of the ministry. And this word equip is very, very significant. In the medical world, this word is used to designate the setting of a broken limb or the replacing of a misplaced joint. And in the New Testament, it was used of mending broken nets. There's a reference, that Greek word there in Mark, the first chapter, verse 19. And also in Galatians, the sixth chapter, verse 1, to restoring an erring believer. Think of that. That's what that word equip means. Chapter 6, in Galatians, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, or in other words, mature, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It is not for any believer to come in a condescending manner, in an authoritarian tone, and make an erring believer feel badly, but in love should seek to do everything they can to restore, to help, to encourage, to exhort them to go in God's direction, in the way of righteousness. Because you know what? Anytime we go in haughtiness or in pride, consider yourself. Because sure enough, if you're riding a high horse, you are going to be you're going to find what it is to be off that high horse. Something will happen, and perhaps a painful lesson, and you'll learn in a difficult way. Well, my time is absolutely flown, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I love you all so much, and I pray for you every day. I invite you to write, share your prayer burdens. The announcer will give our contact information. I thank you, UCM Partners, for your love, your financial support. It's because of you and your prayer support that we continue on. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass A. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.